This is the Total Package, Lex Luger. You are in the room with Brady Hicks.
Radio had some sort of an outage or something there. Widespread across the network. The cloud was down, guys.
Rain cloud.
The net carrier end cloud was down. But we were here. You know what? Being down and a little droopy, that's nothing new for me. I'm used to performing around that, guys.
Take a pill.
There's always something to take for that. So we got Mike McGurk coming on, former WWF announcer, a legend in my mind. One of my favorites of all time. I'm excited about that. That'll be in about 10 minutes. I have a challenge for you guys right now. I want to tell you.
Get three people on the phone? Is that our challenge?
You can call in. 855-DOC Radio. That's 855-862-7234. That's the toll-free number. That number seemed to not be working earlier. I think it's working now.
I know that the other number, 914-338-1885, did work.
Well, that's the other number I'm going to give you guys just in case. So get a pen out, 914-338-1885.
Be dialing, people. Be dialing.
We got Kathy, and I think that this is Ray right here. Ray, Michelle Bogus.
I'm here.
All right. So there we go. So we got a semblance of a show. We're just 17 minutes late, but that's not our fault.
It could have been my fault. Who the hell knows? I don't think it was, though.
Maybe you had something funky going on with, like, your computer.
No, I think it was Skype. I think it had, because I noticed the call was muted later on, but I have no idea why. If only life was that easy where you could just mute people.
I don't know
either, but...
I think that ice storm is coming.
I guess so. We did bring up a topic, Brady, as we got going here before, and we can do this real quick before we go to our third break, which would really be our first break at 9:30 to get Mike on.
Yeah, but I apologize, guys. For the MP3, I'm really hoping that we'll be able to edit this stuff out.
Unlike last week, we didn't edit any of that out. But
were there issues last week?
Yeah, the whole thing aired twice.
Yeah, the song played twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, either way,
I also didn't tell our producer man so.
It's okay. Yeah. Well, I like to see that it is on iTunes, so that's nice to see. The only problem is you have to go to the podcast section. You can't just get it from iTunes. You actually have to go ahead and download that iTunes podcast app on your phone or your iPod or wherever you go and download the podcast from there. But anyway, noticing WWE.com this week, we are on the cutting edge and setting the trend. And the topic is, I don't know if you saw it or not, Kathy, did you see it this week? Today? By any chance?
No, I didn't.
You did? Okay,
you
well...
No.
Okay, well, the topic on the front page actually is United States Championship, and in particular, the United States title reigns, the longest in history. And you go through all the pictures, and they have Ric Flair on there twice, I think, because he held it like five times, and also Barry Windham and Ravishing Rick Rude and a bunch of guys, and you get to the number one reign of all time, and guess who that happens to be? Flexi Lexi, the total package. And big story on him and pictures and everything. And said, wow, somebody's listening and trying to jump on the coattails of the room.
That's what it is. WWE's just sitting back and waiting to see who we're going to have on next. You know?
Yeah, wait till next week when they do the greatest ring announcers in WWE history.
We'll have a new addition to the legends section.
Right.
Yep.
You know, if they're trying to ride our coattails, I can't wait to see what happens when more than three people attempt to use the network.
I'm telling you, next week they're going to go through the classic ring announcers in history. Like, wait a minute. I've seen that one before, too.
A couple quick plugs before we get into the meat of the conversation and before we go to get Mike on the air. First of all, VOC Nation announced today a partnership with RF Video. Now, before you roll your eyes there, I just want to point out...
Too late.
Don't roll your eyes. No, this is good. This is good because In the Room has Kathy and all of her legendary connections, and she's a great asset to the show, as I've said so many times. But the VOC Nation show itself, they're going to benefit from being able to get RF Video help them line up guests. So it's only better for the network, once again. So I wanted to mention that. Also, and apparently, I've been scooped by my own show because I do host the VOC Nation on Wednesday afternoons, and apparently they went and got Matt Stryker behind my back for tomorrow. So Matt Stryker will be on 2 weeks in a row on the same network. I got to sabotage it tomorrow. That's all I can figure, Kathy.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to log into the Log Talk Radio 20 minutes before they get in.
Hey,
and nobody else can get in.
I got to his contact the other day, and it ain't my fault he didn't get back to you.
No. I mean, he was fine. No, I just he set up an interview with them for tomorrow, and he set up an interview with us for next week. He has no idea that he's talking to me twice. He's going to be thrilled when he hears that, I'm sure.
He'll forget the first time after he falls asleep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So it'll be fine. So definitely tomorrow, check out Matt Stryker on the VOC Nation. It's been a while since they had a major guest, so this is a big deal for them. And we've got some major guests coming up, too, that I'm working on. I don't want to say anything quite yet, but that's where we are, you know. WWE's alumni section, it's going to be growing by leaps and bounds in the next couple weeks.
Hey, I have to tell you, Ray and I started to talk about this. I guess you would call it the pre-show. I don't know if it even counted because we were on the air, but we weren't. This CM Punk thing, we'll get more into, I'm sure, when Derek comes on. But is this legit? Is this really happening?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I read a report today that apparently Vince McMahon thinks CM Punk is hurt, and that's why he went home.
He bruised ego.
I mean, in my opinion, if you've got a contract, you don't usually just go home and not honor it.
Well, I mean, look, Brady, and I've been having this fight with people, you know, since the news came out. Number one, independent contractor, he can leave whenever the fuck he damn well pleases. Number two, and this is why I was telling DJ, you know, I think it's perfectly legit, and he's gone home. You know, they're refunding people if they bought packages to meet CM Punk at WrestleMania Access. And unless you think that unless this somehow results in you believing you can make more money by having this angle, then you don't refund money you already have in hand.
I agree. I don't think it's an angle. I think you'd be hard pressed to find. I did make that comment about the contract or whatever, but it happens all the time in pro sports. It happened in wrestling about 10 years ago with Stone Cold. I mean, sometimes guys just do that, and there's not a whole lot you can do there. I mean, sure, you could sue them for money or whatever, but, I mean, really, do you want to do that? There's going to be bad blood if you do. I think CM Punk will be back. The timing for me... is really a head-scratcher, because why would he want to miss a WrestleMania payout? No matter who... I don't care if he's fighting the primetime players. Why would CM Punk want to miss a WrestleMania payout? Because they're going to get him on the main card.
I don't know. I think it's funny, though, that, you know, after we asked Lex about it, and I kind of felt stupid, almost like it was a dumb question when he answered it, because it seemed like the answer was so simple, yet I was kind of naive about it. The whole wrestling the Undertaker thing and people getting pissed off at these part-time wrestlers and this, that, and the other thing about Undertaker showing up once a year to wrestle one time. And it seems like that a lot of the stories that are coming out now is that CM Punk really does, you know, have this chip on his shoulder about these part-time wrestlers. You know, guys like him that break their ass all year, and then guys show up, you know, one to two times, three times at the most a year and get pushed in the main event and win championships. It's kind of, I thought it was kind of funny, though, that came out the very next day.
The timing is definitely odd, for sure. I mean,
it's strange to me. WWE
because he is one of your top stars, and they have to realize that. I mean, in reality, I think losing CM Punk is a bigger deal than losing Daniel Bryan at this point.
Really?
No. I do.
No.
I disagree.
I would disagree with that one.
Well, I mean, CM Punk has meant more to the company over the last 2 or 3 years.
I'm not discounting that fact, but the fact you said losing him right now means more, I think that's inaccurate.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at the depth chart, I think CM Punk is number 2, not Daniel Bryan.
Then why isn't he in, like, the top 3 matches ever in the last 6 months?
Just because they cycle guys in and out now, like TNA does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he means as much right now as Daniel Bryan. I didn't see nearly the uproar if CM Punk wasn't in the Rumble the other night or got eliminated as you did when Daniel Bryan wasn't. And I don't think he would have. Anybody with me on this?
Fair enough. No, no. I mean, I'm
with you on this. And I think to Brady's point to, you know, at the very least, you know, show that you know, I definitely get what he's saying. If you told me who has meant more over to the company over the last 3 years, well, I mean, it's CM Punk. You know, I'm not going to argue that. But if you came to me and you said you can either have, and if you came to me and I'm booking WWE and you're God, and you came to me and you said you can either have from right now until an undetermined date CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, I'm going to take Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan has the potential to make me more money right now than CM Punk.
I can't disagree.
Does he have more potential to add? This is a whole debate that we're getting into here, and like we don't really have time for it. But,
I think we got to just, you know, back burner it until later, but yeah, we definitely need to talk about it.
Well, I'll put that on the back burner, and anybody that wants to call in and talk about it, 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234, that's the toll-free number, 914-338-1885, if the 855 number's still down for you, try that. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to get Mike McGurk, legendary announcer, and we'll be right back, guys.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Catch the Crabs on Crab Nation Live on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOCNation.com.
Hola, hola, hola. This is Funtime Shelly. I am joined by the lovely Danielle.
Hello.
And what's your favorite time on Monday afternoon?
3 p.m. Eastern on VOCNation.com.
That's because you're going to save wrestling.
Be there or be square. Don't be a nerd.
Don't forget the hashtag.
Don't be tardy.
Hey, it's me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Ned Carrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Ned Carrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Ned Carrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Quality Printing Solution is an online printing service that works for your business and your budget. Quality Printing Solution is customer-focused and quality conscious. At Quality Printing Solution, we provide high quality printing services in an array of printing styles with the desire to be the best in the printing industry. Whether you are looking for brochures, business cards, catalogs, postcards, calendars, flyers, booklets, or even letterheads, call 888 888- 760-8974 or visit QualityPrintingSolution.com. There's no S in solution. QualityPrintingSolution.com. Call today. Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013 Specialist in Teenage Driver Training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media. Take it from me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show. Every Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOCNation.com. Sunday for long to Greg DeMarco.
Catch the Crabs on Crab Nation Live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is In the Room, the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com. I'm Brady Hicks, and I have with me DJ and Ray and beloved Kathy. Kathy, I love you. Because once in a while,
I can get people to call in.
you give us, it's such a treat. It's such a treat. Mike McGurk, former WWF announcer, in my opinion should be a Hall of Famer, is joining us on the line. And Mike, when I was a little kid, you were ring announcing for me for WWF. Forget the Fink for a minute. Forget him. Because for me, you were what I watched on Saturday mornings.
There was nobody else. It was Mike McGurk and Mel Phillips. That was it for me.
Mel Phillips.
Now you're going back. Yeah, we sent Mel on down the road. I got a chance, and Mel, and not disrespectful whatsoever towards Mel, but I was trying to feed two kids, young kids, and I figured that I had a product, which is myself, and experience, and hunger, and Vince bought it, and best thing of it is why can't a woman do just as well and just as serious? We didn't have divas then. You know, Sherry and I can attest to that, and Elizabeth. It was just hard work and what you could put out as far as, you know, as far as your experience and as far as what you could, you know, add to the show. Not put out any other way. I know this is a late night show, but it was.
Now, Mike,
do you have something that, you know, can you bring something to the table and make it work? And I felt that I could, without realizing any scope of how this was going to ever turn out, because at the time all of us were just trying to make a living, and in the meantime this thing's growing, and because you know I grew up in this business defending it. it was not as well regarded. It surely was not as broadcast as it is now. And so you defend it. It's what put the clothes on your back. And here you are in the ring now working for it. And I think anybody that came before me, during me, and after me, I am just very fortunate to be a part of that. And to
and
have
Mike,
you guys
the,
want me. It's great.
Yeah, you said there were no divas then, but there were ringettes. Do you remember the ringettes?
Oh, okay.
They got rid
I
of them.
I do.
Yeah. They used to take all the staying power. Yeah.
Well, that's why I never was a micette. Okay.
Most people don't remember them, that they were even around. I think they were at WrestleMania 3, and I think that was it after that. But just a couple questions. I mean, like, you are the generation that, you know, that we pretty much remember growing up, and you know, there was a lot of questions that I wanted to ask you. First one is, you know, how did you get that opportunity? You mentioned talking to Vince, and you know, but how did you even get the opportunity to get to speak to Vince and to get in that position?
Well, it started back with Vince Sr. And his passing. I mean, at the time, my parents had sold out to Bill Watts, which my dad had started in the Midwest area years ago in the 50s, way before I was born. And then had grown the promotion in it. And at that time, right in 1982, things were changing, and it was changing rapidly. You had satellite TV coming in. You had Vince's promotion coming in to all areas. And so it was a good time for them to get out. But in the meantime, my parents signed a contract of no compete for about 3 years. And in that contract, they sold the wrestling rings and all the things to Bill, with the exception of one wrestling ring, which I happened to hold back. Also, for purposes just to, it was my dad's, and just to hang on. I don't know why at the time. It was much larger than I can think of as why we did it, but it went to the ranch, and it stayed in the back 40 for like a year and a half, 2 years. Well, in that time, Vince Sr. passed away, and Vince Jr. was just going to take that television, and he was going to go worldwide, which you can imagine. At that time, I was like, wow, that's pretty aggressive. How is he going to do that? Well, he started contacting people. And all the promotions at that time were starting to not, they were feeling the effects of cable TV. Georgia was coming in really strong. So your localized television and your localized promotions were starting to feel the effect. Well, Vince came in, monopolized on that, was able to get on the cable channel, and he was looking for people that would have a wrestling ring. So he, to support the television, you have to run live. And at that time, and he happened to have a person in the office named Terry Garvin. Well, Terry Garvin had worked for my parents for years back in the day, and he called the house and spoke to my mom and said, this is what we've got, a kind of an idea, this is what Vince is, and he wants to start promoting in Oklahoma, Arkansas, all the places where Dad used to be. Do you all have a wrestling ring? Yeah, we do. And it began just really as simply as that. I saw a bird in hand, and it was like, well, yeah, heck yeah, because Bill was still working. Bill Watts was still promoting. Well, what turned out to be was I was running with Vince, or helping Vince, not running it. He was doing the running. I was providing the ring and the stage for it to happen against the promotion that my dad started, but it was with Bill. So they were totally out of it, and I needed to make a living, and this sounded great. Hell yeah, I can bring the ring and whatever else you need. So we started that way, provided the ring, and went through, you wouldn't believe, because they didn't let go very easily. When you have, when you're coming in on different promotions, when you go to Tennessee, you go to Kansas City, you go to Oklahoma, you've got other people that want to sabotage you. So that was another thing is, you know, could I handle what I was getting ready to go into? Had I known, if somebody had said that I was going to have this, I didn't even think about it. Again, this was something I knew, and yeah, I can provide the ring. So it started that way, and longevity of it was that I was able to last. I was able to get the job done, so I got more dates, and that was in 1984 that they started here, and then it kind of grew with, well, we don't have a music, so I always would provide the music, and I would pick up the ring jackets. All the while, I always dressed in a you know, professional, but I had decided to get a tuxedo. Well, I rented a man's tuxedo, had it taken up, and I would sit at the desk and run the music and timekeep. And it was about 1986, September 12th, to be exact, in Memphis, Tennessee, that Jack Lanza, which was one of the agents at the time, they had a big card in Memphis. It was sold out, and you had Andre and John Studd on the card. And this DJ, he was from the radio. Nope, nothing wrong, but sometimes the radio disc jockeys, and they get a little bit into themselves. And he was already out there on the platform and in the ring doing his platform and selling the radio show, and he was kind of getting silly. And they said, get him out of the ring immediately. They came to me, and they said, here, you know how to announce, don't you? And I looked, and I went, come on. You know how to announce, don't you? And I said, I have never done this. And they, well, you've sat at ringside, did you? No. The only time I've sat at ringside is with, you know, is doing the timekeeping, but I've never been inside the ring. So he said, well, here, you're going to do the card tonight. That guy's out. I started writing every piece of paper that I could find, like on the program, and was like, I knew the talent, but I didn't. I thought, oh, my God, I just don't know who they are. I forgot their name, their weights, everything. So I had all this wrote out, ready to go into the ring. Jack comes up to me, and he goes, what's this? And I said, it's my notes, and he tosses them to the side. That's how I started. And literally, I got inside that ring, and I don't even remember. All I remember is that I have an idol that I love, which is Elvis Presley. And I said, you know what? I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm in the Mid-South Coliseum. I'm in Elvis's land. If he can do it, I can do it. And away we went. So that was my first gig with Vince McMahon.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, that started. So it took me about 2 more years. And it was like in 1987, I had really fully started picking up some more dates with the ring, and then doing in-house shows. Never television, but I was now, you know, promoted to the effect that, well, we can trust her, and she does pretty good in the ring, and it gave me more money, so along with the ring, and of course. And it was a sold-out show in Wichita, Kansas. Hulk was on it, and I at that time, remember, we don't have all the cameras and all the technology we have now to send anything to Vince so he can see what's going on. And Vince never got a chance to see what the crowd looks, how are they reacting, how's the show being run. Well, so I was always there early to get the ring, and I had this idea of, well, let me get somebody in here that can videotape this thing, you know. And I happen to, you know, it's one of those things, again, that the good Lord's with you. It's meant to be, you know. We don't know why we fall into some of the things we do, but we do. And I happened to get a hold of a guy that invented, if you go way back to what it was called, it was a cam that used to slide onto the football fields. This guy developed it. He happened to be in Wichita. I called him, didn't know that. Said, can you do this? I want to shoot about a 15-20 minute video, and then I'm going to, you know, put it on VHS, on tape, and send it back to New York. I told him briefly what I wanted, just to give me a little synopsis of each match, of what it's going, you know, how each talent is coming into the ring, and then the end of it, and then do the big 5 minutes with Hulk. And we did. I sent it off to Vince, and 3 weeks later, after WrestleMania 3, I started on television. So that's kind of a, if you're still with me, that's how it really happened. So it didn't happen overnight, but
That's when you wanted to get in, though. I mean, right after WrestleMania 3 was, I mean, that was the boom. I mean, that was pretty much
hey,
what, you know, got it
yeah,
going.
Yeah, and that's their fiscal year. That's how they start. So it was a good time
sure.
to bring me in, you know, right after that and grow with the company. And I had no idea. I did not know that I was going to be have a show of my own or begin to do challenge. And so they kind of let me in, trailed behind behind Mel, because at the time, of course, Howard, which is wonderful, had
super
one position. Sure,
yeah.
sure. So I was on the B team, and that's great. Are you kidding? And
yeah, but you got to work with Gorilla and Bobby, though, so that's...
Oh,
Gorilla and Bobby
yeah.
were on Challenge. That made that show.
And Jesse.
So it was fun.
You know, I worked
Jesse
with
was
Jesse.
On Superstars, right?
Oh, yeah. But, I, you know, when I wasn't working out in front of the camera, then my other job was to produce the commercials. We would do the 30 or the 60 minutes promos in the back. So that was another beautiful job. Was I was always working. Vince is not going to let you sit around, okay? He's going to find something for you to do and learn. I mean, I loved it because I loved every aspect of what the cameramen did. I loved how they did the promos. I loved watching the talent, because they weren't scripted to do these 30 seconds and 60 seconds. The only thing that they ever had was, this is my opponent, this is where we're going to be, and I would stay in the room to kind of to be the go-between between the cameramen and to help the talent along. Like if they, okay, now where am I at? So you'd tell them, okay,
yeah.
we're in New Haven. And so that was how I did that. And then to round them up and to keep things flowing, you know. So I knew what needed to be shot. I knew who needed to do their promos, and we'd work around that. So that's what I was doing behind
Mike,
the scenes.
Mike was always good at tracking people down.
I'm good at especially there's a story about Owen Hart. He was in Tulsa and a dear friend, and of course my parents. When I grew up, we used to get Christmas cards every year from the Harts, and at the time that they were raising their family, each year we would get a new Christmas card with a picture of it, and it would have a new child at it.
A new kid,
so,
yeah.
I became very familiar with the Harts, and of course Stu. And my father went way back, and they were both, if my dad would have still had his sight, even then, even when he didn't have his sight, he was in the ring with a lot of the junior heavyweights, and he would work out with them, but they were both, they loved to stretch, the young kids, but they were both from amateur backgrounds, and both of them were very aware of each other's amateur background. Well, of course, Stu ended up with some boys that he could, you know, train, and then I was always the girl that, you know, my name is Mike, and I still, to this day, kind of wonder what a stove is about. I'm not a domesticated lady. I love the outdoors and I love to track people down. And but anyway, Owen was in here. He got hurt. Kim Shamrock. They were doing a match and it was on TV and it was live. And anyway, he ended up with a concussion, and he was in the hospital here at in Tulsa. And they told me, I went down there. I was like, "Where's Owen?" And they said, "Well, we just sent him. He's hurt and he's over there at the hospital." It was like three blocks down. I went over there and, "No, you can't get in. You can't get in." Well, I told him, I said, "Look, I'm Owen Hart's sister. I reside here in Oklahoma and I'm worried. I need it to get in." Well, I go in there. They let me in and Owen's low. He's on the table and he looks over and he goes, "If there was anybody that I knew that I had a sister, it was going to be you, McGurk." And that's a true story because I did get in, and he knew. He's like, "Oh, my God, it's McGurk." So I can track him down.
Now, it's funny because you mentioned those promos and doing those things. That, to me, that was the golden age of wrestling, for me at least. Back, you know, when you would watch a Superstars or Challenge, and right before they'd go to commercial or whatever, you'd see, you know, either Sean Mooney or Craig DeGeorge come on and tell you about the show coming to your town. And then they, you know, go to the interviews, and you'd see the guy talking about the Spectrum or wherever they were going to be, Nassau Coliseum.
Your town. It was so
personal.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow. And you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, Brutus Beefcake's going to wrestle Dino Bravo at the Spectrum. And it was just like they're talking to you. And, you know, that stuff has become, like you said, when it's gone worldwide, it's become a lot less, you know, that hometown feel now. But, you
exactly.
know, it's become so big. They would usually tie in
something that, like you said, like they would tie in something that
City of Brotherly Love.
You all. Of Philly or, of Boston or something. And, not only that, just tie it in and, the hype was there. And it's like, God, I loved it. Those were great days.
Hey, Mike, when you were with the WWF in the late 80s and early 90s, was there the feeling that the company would take off the way it has today, a worldwide thing, billions of dollars, publicly traded, all that? Was there a feeling of that backstage, or was it just kind of baby steps?
When you go out and you start out and you see it was kind of funny. It just depended if we went down to the South and when we were doing these break open places or going to Waco, Texas and 85, 87, and we didn't have air conditioning, but these big, huge arenas were not
right.
So there. So sometimes you'd fill it and then you'd go back east and go, wow, okay. But as you grew and as then you go to Kansas City. And we were, before all this happened, we were in the Kemper, and they're selling this place out. It was, of course, it was a cage match. So I think it was Harley and Hulk. It was unbelievable. I mean, you just like, oh my God, And then you go to St. Louis, and you've been into the Keel when maybe there was 2,000 people, and now there's 8,000 people. Something is going on. You go with it, and we went from one pay-per-view, which was WrestleMania. Then we started with the second pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden we had four.
Yeah.
We were doing one every quarter, so you kind of as you work every day in it, and then the pay-per-views are getting better. You had no idea. Especially because I think we're in a plane, and the houses are getting better, the pay is getting a little bit better. And then of course as time went on, the promotions were drying up, and then you're realizing, oh my God, and almost in a point that we were looking at that, is this going to be really good for the business just to have, Georgia promotion and just Vince. I mean, what's going to happen? Everybody knew you can't have a run forever with Vince, and where are we going to go? Because you always used to be able to go to other territories and work. So, you looked at that, and then when I realized how global we were when we went over to Europe, and my first time to go over there, when these people had not had the luxury of having television sets in their homes, and mm-hmm. the only time that they would get us would be closed circuit, and they had to guard us. I mean, literally. I mean, get us into the building, and then by the time we ran the show and got out, people were. I mean, me. I'm just an announcer. They were grabbing and cutting pieces of my hair, anything they could do to get close to us, and it's like, oh my. Oh my God!
Yeah.
And now the boys had been over there before, but they said it's getting wilder because, it was. You had no idea that it would be going, traded like this, and, But it's awesome.
It had to be crazy for you. I mean, I can't picture this happening for myself. Like you talk about the boom and it all of a sudden getting real big and the growth, but like, what was it for you to like? Be able to go into, I don't know, let's say, a skating rink or, an arcade and hear your voice on an arcade game. Because you'll go down in infamy as having, being the ring announcer on arguably the greatest wrestling game ever made that people still love to play in the arcade with superstars and being the announcer and having, and you had your whole likeness in that ring. It was a cartoon arcade. With your voice, how cool was that?
Well, I think I don't grasp the scope of it, and I was raised with one foot outside of the business and one foot in, and that kept me very, very level. My dad always told me it can be erased out of this business with the end of a pencil. And I think that scared me to death because that's how they used to do it. You know, you could be on top one day, and if the promoter didn't like you, he'd erase your name and replace you with somebody else. So I think a lot of it that I just thought, man, and I still do, is that I'm just very lucky, very fortunate that I got that chance. And there's so many, the memories. And then to see what they've done to it, and people will say, well, surely you're getting something off of it. You know what I get off of it is things like this interview, that you all still remember me. And I get, you wouldn't believe, people that are like on the Facebook that will find me, or they'll tell me memories of something that is so dear to them. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you're opening up something, you know, maybe a memory that they shared with a deceased parent now, and that I, being around, give them that good memory, and would they like, and they'd like to see me someday back east. And I said, hey, tell your promoters, I would love to do that, and I still do that, and I love to hear their stories and anything that I can do, just like you guys. You know, I was back and Kathy knows that Kathy was busy with Brett last year during the WrestleMania, but I was doing the WrestleCon, and I had this little 12-year-old boy come up to me and tell me, I've watched you on television, I know you, and I'm like, you're 12 years old, I've been off longer than you are old. But the video, and that they're actually coming up and talking to me, and he wanted to interview. You know, he actually said, I want to announce in front of you and tell me what you think. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he was awesome, he was great. I told him, just hone your craft, go to school, get your education, and don't let anybody or anything hold you back. You know, if you can dream it, think it, somebody, and that's how I thought it. You know, I mean, I didn't let anything hold me back. I didn't know what I wanted, but I wanted to be in the business and a part of it, and that's how it happened. Because I just thought, well, I would just do my job. And the only thing that I really, really wanted to do and didn't get to do was do more of interviewing the wrestlers. But I think Vince knew better than I, this is where I want you. And he wanted some longevity out of me, so he thought that's why we'll keep you, you know, just where you're in the middle here. And we started to do something with Rick Rude. And then things kind of fell apart with that. But we started to do an angle that just never happened, where, you know, he was working up to being throwing his sweat on me and doing this, and I was supposed to get fed up with it. And we didn't quite get there. We didn't quite get there, but that would have been fun.
And we're of course talking with legendary wrestling WWF announcer Mike McGurk, the daughter of famous promoter. And Mike, I know you got to get going. I just got a couple real quick questions here. Kind of a double question, I guess.
You sure you got time for this?
I think so. I mean, I got all the time in the world. I don't know if you do. I don't want to hold you up, you know. But I mean, being the daughter of a famous promoter, and I'm sure that there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, as well as, you know, being the fact that you're a woman trying to make it in a man's game. I mean, how much pressure was there on you to succeed at the level that you did?
Unbelievable. When I first met Vince at his home, when he flew me up, and it was after, like I told you, the initial after the WrestleMania, and he flew me up to Stamford, and I went into his home, and I remember the kids. I'll never forget that. I remember little Stephanie and Shane, and he was talking to me, and he said, I know your past, of really how tough it was. I had my battles with Bill Watts, and you know, being a woman and being a promoter's daughter, and already had been married, you know, to a good, you know, just we were too young, but had been married to Brian Blair, and that didn't work. Too young, you know, we were too young and both going in opposite directions. But he knew that I wasn't out to look for another husband. I wasn't out to be starry-eyed over the wrestlers. That this had to be a job, and that it was going to be a proving ground. And he says, "I think you've been proving yourself, all your life to your dad, which I had told him. I kind of got it pretty, you know, about how hard it was with my dad never seeing me, and he always I never was the boy that he wanted, and trying to get to that level and just want him to like me. He loved me, but yeah, you know what I mean? It was just like, and he said, well, you've got three wishes. And he absolutely handed that to me. He said, I'll give you three wishes. And he said, and I'll be the one that grants all three of them to you. And in other words,
wow.
The sky was the limit. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be here forever. And I would have stayed till the very end, and which he had. When it became 1994 and things were changing, and all kinds of things were happening, you know, with the company, and he had stepped down and let Linda go, and I let Linda lead it, and money was kind of, we were going to have to, you know, hold back on transportation, and I want you to come back east. Well, at the time, my kids were now become like mid-teenagers, and I really thought hard about it, and I thought, you know, diversify, go back to where I, you know, maybe this is my sign. And everybody was starting to leave. They were going to go down to Atlanta. You know, the company was changing. The talent was changing. It was a big change. And, God, we had Geraldo Rivera running after us, you know, and wanting interviews and trying to turn on, you know, say something bad about Vince. And I just, it had ceased to be fun anymore. And then they were starting to do contracts. I never worked with a contract with Vince. I worked with a handshake, and his word was gold. And so then we started getting more people involved underneath, and I missed that one-on-one with Vince. So it was a good time to just say, maybe I need to step down. So that was the only reason that I ever left, and in the proving ground that I felt that I had done exactly what he had wanted. And we left as friends and still do. It's just hard to get to him sometimes, but he knows that I'm there if I go to a local show, or if I know that, you know, it's a television. That, because besides my father, and this is a pretty big credit, Vince took me just that one step farther, you know, in life. And not that I'm calling him my dad, although he would probably like that. Because we're not that far apart in age, but yeah, Dad. Because I'd have to ask Dad if we could do this, but he did a lot, and he kept his word, and I kept my word as being professional, and it did. It got lonely, you know. And I used to tell Liz, I said, "Well, God, you've got Randy carrying your bags, and he watches over you, and how I wish that." Because hey, those guys were good to me and respectful, but they, you know, hey, you've got bags, you've got to pick them up too. You know, Sherry picks her bags up, and so you know that kind of thing, you know, was a little difficult because you rode by yourself. Now, at the last couple of years, Sherry and I had more dates together, and not dates, but, you know, we worked together on the same cards so we could ride together. Don't say, you know, anybody that's out there, don't take that different, but we had, you know, got to cover yourself on this.
There's a quote for the newsletters, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, that'll sell something. Yeah.
Yeah, just isolate that, Brady, when you write the press release. Talks about her dates with Sherry.
I used to remember getting phone calls when these two were, when Sherry and Mike were, like, after a road trip, they were at a hotel. Yeah, I got some very strange phone calls.
Some drunk dialing going on before it was...
I hear...
Sherry made it perfectly clear. Now we would be traveling together, or else we'd be in the room. But when it was time, we always had our separate rooms, because that was another thing that you're gonna, like, I can bring up, that we really had to make sure and dispel that anything like that. We didn't think of it, because Sherry was very, very, as much as I was. I mean, we were the most heterosexual women around. Not, you couldn't tour to the guys, but we had. Back then, there was kind of a, you know, you had to, because people always look for something like that. And I knew back in the day that, like, my dad had said that there was, like in the 60s, that some of the girl wrestlers, it was not any that, like, you have ever heard, but some of the kind of independents had gotten a bad rap. And they were, you know, and back then, that was not you know, it's not like what it is today. You just didn't do that, and it gave it a bad rap, like two women together. So, you know, we never spent the night except one night, and they had sold my room in Boston at the Hojo's at Howard Johnson's, and I was like, Sherry, I hate to do this, and she had a king-size bed, and she was like, don't, and I can't say the words that she said, but Kathy knows what she said, and it was like, don't you dare try anything, don't you, you know. I never took my clothes off, I never did do anything, I just put my bags there, and I said, Sherry, all I want to do is lay my head for about 4 hours so I catch a plane, and I mean, I was scared to death, because Sherry'd hurt me. I know she just hurt me bad. I wouldn't ever, I forgot, you know, if my arm slung over or something and she took it wrong. But we always were very careful that, you know, we didn't, like, oh, yeah, the girls hang out together. No, you know, we rode together, and a lot of times we always would, like, be with Davy Boy or carry one of the girlfriends of the single guys. Okay, there were single guys there. So we'd take them, but we always had a car full and just had a blast. But, yeah, Kathy knows a couple of phone calls that be, because Sherry loved to, like, we didn't want the night to be over, okay? We'd been up late and the show, and you have all this adrenaline, and you're making money, and you're having a good time, and so Sherry's like, let's call Kathy. Let's wake her up at 3:30 in the morning.
Good thing there wasn't
Facebook
and text messaging.
Let's let her know what a good time we're
then,
having.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Of times it was like living the life of a rock star. We really were on the heels of just
limousine
being with
ride.
The guys, and it was like that. I mean, there was a time that Hawk rented a room. We were in a certain town, Cincinnati, I believe, and we had finished TV, and it was very successful, and some things were going on, and he rented a room, and it was just, it was crazy. There was parties and fun and women that were passed out in the bathtub on ice. And just, hey, go
wow.
in there, go Lord. Get you a beer. And I'd say, who's the chick on the ice? And they go, oh, don't worry about her. She'll wake up in time. So you never knew. Yeah, it was nobody got hurt, but we had lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Mike, I mean, you referenced Brian, and I there's no need to talk about that or whatever, and all these awesome road stories, but I did have one question for you, and
sure.
I think this is all that I have. It always seemed to me, now I know Brian, I know Bobby Heenan was always playing a character, and he was always kind of goofing around and everything, but it always seemed to me like they never quite portrayed you the way they should have. It was always a very disrespectful thing, and I was just curious how you perceived WWE's treatment of you while you were there on TV, bonding and making fun of the way you look, because you were a beautiful woman. I mean, you are a beautiful woman, but I mean, it always struck me as odd, and I was just curious how the company, characterized you. I mean, was it something that they were just doing on TV to get people annoyed at Bobby Heenan, or?
I'm sure, and a lot of it was, I never knew, you know, I had no idea what was going on, and I took it at this, that had I known, I'd been crushed, probably. But no, I took it that if they weren't talking about me, then I wasn't, they weren't going to do anything with me. But if they were talking about me, I didn't care. Just keep me, you know, because they were very kind to me on the inside. Bobby, of course, talked to me. He was like that. He was the most quick talking. I mean, I wish I could be as quick witted as he was. But he always portrayed like he, that I, you know, kind of wanted to date him, and he would do that to my face, and I was like, Bobby, and I would tell him, I go, you know I do, you know, but not knowing what he was doing to me out there, you know, and then about the hair, and oh my God, you know, I mean, one time I heard that, you know, that, have you listened to her voice, it sounds like a cat in a litter box, and I thought, oh my God, if I'd known, like, he was saying stuff about that, but So, and I imagine they did it for their own selves. I think a lot of it that they were doing just, you know, I'm sure just to get Vince to laugh. And unbeknownst to me, did I ever know until later, till, you know, I hear this montage of stuff that's on YouTube now, and I think, oh, my gosh. And people ask, well, did it hurt you? But, you know, I think, too, that what they were doing, like any of the Wimpleman and blowing smoke on my face and doing stuff like that, is to try to get some sympathy for me. They were trying to work that. But we didn't go further with it. But had I known, I don't know. That kind of might. But I was so used to it because, let me just tell you about that, is again, the proving ground. Can you take it? Can you handle it? And I think that's a part of it that, you know, it's just, again, you know, let it run off, just like a duck, you know. It's going to run down my back as long as I'm here and they're talking about me, and can I handle it? And if they don't make fun of you, then they don't like you, is what my dad said. And I was like, man, but this is this is kind of tough. But
yeah,
I was raised around this business, so you got to know that from the time I was little, that I was hearing kind of stuff like this. So it was okay.
Kind of like the little girl tomboy, you know. I mean, all your big brother's picking on you, but you know it's out of love, and you're just having fun with it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well,
cool.
It makes you tougher. You know, it makes you it makes you just a little bit tougher, and that you take it, because I know that there was women afterwards, and Kathy knows what they did. If you didn't go with it and you weren't part of the guys, you knew real fast. And I never had any bad things happen to me. They didn't, you know, put, you know, and they would. They'd like, and it was just a kind of a little, you know, boys club kind of thing. Like, you either straighten up and act right, or this is going to happen to you. And, you know, I always had respect for the guys, and they knew that. I there was just kind of one that, you know, that maybe didn't understand or two, but the boys in general would tweak them if they, you know, wanted to get kind of crappy with me, and but that never lasted. You know, I if anything, if somebody wanted to get disrespectful to me, I just go with it. And I was like, you know what, I just take it that you're not going to last too much longer if you keep this up. And I try to help them. If they, you know, they got sometimes new guys that would come in and they didn't have, you know, they'd like try to pick on me, and I'm like, you're on the wrong side, kid. You know, you're going to have to go maybe to the ring crew, because I'm not playing your game. And I just don't want to go without mentioning somebody that I cared to, and Kathy knows. And Joy Morella, I think, is somebody that nobody speaks about, of what a great, decent human being he was. He was professional, and that's Gorilla's boy. And he was another one that you know, you kind of stick together. And he helped me, and he was. There was a couple times, though, Joey, I would think that I'd take his car keys, and we'd put him in his room, and 10 minutes later, he'd be back out walking and looking for me to get the car keys. I'm like, oh, my God, you were passed out. What happened to you? Well, we took care of each other, and he was great, and he was lots of fun to be in the ring with, and he would tell me, you know, hey, watch out for this guy, or, you know, he's kind of green and he's kind of wild, and, you know, get out of the ring real fast, because, you know, we're live, and we didn't
yeah.
You know, and that back in those days, we started at 7 o'clock at night, and we would wind it up at midnight. And remember, I didn't get a bathroom break. I don't know how I trained my kidneys back in those days, but you know, you just you went out and you didn't stop. We were doing 3 weeks of TV in one night, and we did that for a long time. So yeah, you had help with that, and Joy is missed. What a good guy, and what a good talent, what a great referee he was. I miss him.
I mean, from everything I've heard, I mean, it sounds like a guy that I really regret having never gotten the chance to meet. Joey Morella sounded awesome from everybody that I've ever talked to. So anyway, Mike, I did want to thank you for coming on tonight. You gave us way more than I expected, so thank you for that. I hope we didn't hold you up too long.
No. I'm glad that you gave me a little bit of time to get in. And just kind of FYI, if Kathy didn't tell you, she should have, and she probably did, that, you know, I don't have a problem about talking. Obviously, that's probably one of the reasons why Vince put me in on a microphone. So, because he did tell me this. This is another thing I'll add. He was like, you know, if you think that nobody ever listens to you, this is your one chance, kid, because they're going to be listening to you. So.
And Mike, now, Brady, I don't know if you know, but if you're around in June, you will be meeting Mike because she's coming to visit.
You bet.
Nice.
There's somebody
nice.
Having a birthday.
Yeah, she's coming back. She's coming to New Jersey to hang out with me for, I don't know, we haven't figured out how long, for my birthday.
Oh, don't call Brady at 3 in the morning. He doesn't like that.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, well,
I'm up already.
You just made an invite right now, okay? I'm writing you down. Call
that,
Brady
that,
at 3 a.m.
That mission accomplished.
Yeah, thank you for that, because I just wrote that down. Done.
Nope.
Yes, thank you for that. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
hey, Mike, before you go, would you mind recording a bumper for us that we could play on the beginning of the show?
No, just tell me what I need to say.
Okay, well, the name of the show is in the room. My name's Brady Hicks. Whatever you feel like. It would be really cool if you did some kind of announcing shtick type thing, I think.
Okay, so it's in the room with Brady?
Yeah, Brady Hicks.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome, because I'm in the room with Brady Hicks.
You forgot to say who you are.
I forgot your name.
Who you are.
Okay, here we go again.
Yeah, do it again.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mike McGurk, and I'm in the room with none other, the one, the only, Brady Hicks.
Thank you so much, Mike. It was a blast tonight. I could have done this all night. No, it was great. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was,
I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, Mike.
Okay. Talk to you soon. See you at 3 a.m. In June, Brady.
I will. It's a date. Take care, Mike.
Okay.
So that was legendary announcer, the daughter of a promoter, Mike McGurk. I didn't even ask her why her dad would name her Mike. Kathy, do you know why she's named Mike?
Because he swore it was a boy.
Oh.
Okay.
And
That first diaper change was probably a real shock, huh?
He saw the umbilical cord, and he was like, what a boy it is.
Attaboy, son.
So listen, guys, we're...
Take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right now. And by the way, if you listen to the live stream and you put up with it, I wanted you guys to know that during the interview, I did talk with Bruce Wirt, and he's agreed to cut off the first 17 minutes. So the show will sound normal if it's an MP3 download. So that's good news. We'll be right back, guys.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network. The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show. Every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOCNation.com. Sunday for all, to Greg DeMarco.
Catch the Crabs on Crab Nation Live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
Hola, hola, hola. This is Funtime Shelley, joined by the lovely Danielle.
What's your favorite time on Monday afternoon?
3 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
That's because you're going to save wrestling.
Be there or be square. Don't be a nerd.
The voice of choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetraMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
Quality Printing Solution is an online printing service that works for your business and your budget. Quality Printing Solution is customer-focused and quality-conscious. At Quality Printing Solution, we provide high-quality printing services in an array of printing styles with the desire to be the best in the printing industry. Whether you are looking for brochures, business cards, catalogs, postcards, calendars, flyers, booklets, or even letterheads, call 888-760-8974 or visit QualityPrintingSolution.com. There's no S in solution. QualityPrintingSolution.com. Call today.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The voice of choice, the lovely Amber O'Neill. Check out ArenaChicks.com. That's the best way to follow Arena Chicks.
If you want to know what me and the rest of Arena Chicks are doing, go to ArenaChicks.com because we're so busy, I don't even know. ArenaChicks.com.
Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, guys, we're back. This is In the Room. I forgot to wait for the music. In the Room, the VOC-ITR Radio Network, VOCNation.com, BradyHicks.com. I'm Brady Hicks. I've got DJ and Derek and Ray and Kathy. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can call in 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. Or if that number isn't working, if that seems to be down, you can try the other number, the local number, 914-338-1885. Ray, you're on Twitter, right? What's your Twitter?
We'll start I am at Ray ITR. You know, got to push the brand.
Exactly. And I'm Brady, at Brady Hicks because that's my brand.
Brady, that was one of the funniest things ever. I don't know if Derek caught it or not. I actually was laughing out loud for about 10 minutes after you did it. Yeah, pal. Did you catch it, Derek, when Brady did that with Mike? She goes, well, we're live. And he goes, pal.
Yeah, pal.
Just random. like Psycho Sid, we're live, pal.
I knew you would like that. That was pretty
I just kept laughing. Yeah, man, oh, man. Well, guys, it's good to be back. We can talk some WrestleMania, yeah, and some Raw, and some CM Punk, and all the crazy stuff that's going on.
We'll talk some Roar, as the New Yorkers say, right, Derek?
Yes, Brady, that's how we say it.
You are savages in New York. Let me just tell you. You people live ass backwards.
You people.
Where did that
come from? What the hell did that come from?
He's attacking me.
That's my charming Midwestern rage.
It's like a snake.
You just go fall into the Atlantic Ocean, you goddamn rat eater.
Oh, man. All right, well.
I'm sorry. All right, cheesehead. Take it easy.
Well,
I live too far south for that.
I think Skype sucks tonight. I don't know if it's just me, but I keep getting all sorts of garbage in my Skype account.
Early on, it was a lot of missed connections. It's been a weird sort of night. And generally, I found the Blog Talk Radio platform to be pretty stable, so I don't think it's that. I really do think it was the Skype that was acting up before.
Well, anyway, guys, Derek, earlier on we were talking about the CM Punk angle or whether or not it's an angle at all. And you have a feeling on this?
You know, I can understand why the guy left. I think Ray brought this up on Facebook, and he made a good point. They're considered independent contractors. So, technically, if he just wants to up and leave, there's really nothing WWE can do because of the wording of the contract. So I kind of support him in that way. But if you listen to interviews that the guy's done leading up to him leaving, he said things like, you know, I think I should be pushed as a top guy, blah, blah, blah. But then in the same vein, he's saying this year belongs to Daniel Bryan. So it's like, okay, do you want to be in the main event of WrestleMania? Or do you think Daniel Bryan deserves to be in the main event of WrestleMania? And personally, if I was him, I would have waited to after Mania to leave, because you kind of leave the company in a crazy position where they have to scramble and get things done leading up to the biggest show of the year.
Sure.
But,
that's exactly what he wants.
Well, I'm sure he does to a certain extent, but even, like, for his payday, like, who wouldn't want... I mean, because you know CM Punk is going to have a featured part of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So why would he turn down that guaranteed payday? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Because he's already got a huge net worth and doesn't care.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No. Yeah, and he feels like he's screwing him over by doing it this way,
and he is.
Yeah, we've all been in that position in our lives where we want to feel like we have control over somebody and screwing them over. And like, you know, that's just the way it is.
He's not just screwing them over, though. I mean, he's screwing over the people that helped make him who he is.
He doesn't give a shit about that, though.
Oh, well, I know he doesn't. I know for a fact that he really doesn't. But it just strikes me as odd. And I actually posed a question before that first break, and I'd like to revisit that. And Derek, you weren't on, so I'd like to hear your thoughts on it for sure. Kathy, you didn't really chime in either, but I proposed this idea that maybe, just maybe, that CM Punk is actually more valuable to the company right now than Daniel Bryan.
I don't know.
That's not what you said. That's not the.
Well, how did I say it?
Brady said that losing CM Punk is more of a loss than losing Daniel Bryan right now.
No, that's what
he said, and I completely disagreed.
Yeah, I think if you would have said that maybe a year ago, then maybe. But if you look
maybe six months ago.
Yeah, so, in the past 3-4 weeks, there's been a yes chant at a college basketball game that was featured on SportsCenter. A couple of days ago, the Super Bowl champions, they sent out a tweet acknowledging Daniel Bryan and his yes chant. I mean, the guy is getting more mainstream now than CM Punk ever was when he dropped the pipe bomb or whatever. So if you were to lose Daniel Bryan, you're losing a big part of the commercial status that you're receiving from, you know, ESPN and all these other channels. So I think losing Daniel Bryan would be a lot bigger than losing CM Punk.
Okay, so I'm looking at right now on Indeed Wrestling, Chris Harrington did a breakdown of just this huge breakdown of ratings winners and losers it goes back years. Overall, for the year 2013, CM Punk gained more viewers than Daniel Bryan. He gained just under 100,000 more on average.
Now, what was the time?
Starting. That's aggregate for the entire year of 2013.
Okay.
At Punk's peak, that was Punk's peak.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan wasn't there yet. Yeah.
But starting from September, Daniel Bryan is the biggest ratings gain for Raw.
Yeah, he and I think people forget half of 2013 he was doing the things with Kane, and you know he's acting kind of crazy with Kane and the tag team. And like you said, since they took him out of that tag team, made him a focal point of the company, he's been the highest rating draw. Like, he has a chance to be maybe not as big as Cena, because Cena's pretty big, but he can get pretty close to where John Cena is if they just, you know, if they don't mess him up. I mean, he kind of got by with the Royal Rumble and the way they booked him there. But if, you know, if you try to repair it leading up to Mania, I think he can be their top guy. So much so that I read 2 weeks ago they moved Extreme Rules, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, they moved it to Seattle. So that lets you know the kind of star power the guy's getting from the company.
No, you're right. You guys are all right. I'm not even saying that I'm necessarily right for what I said, but I did want to throw it out there because it is a thought, and I think it's an interesting thought. And here's
Brady.
Kind of my well, let me just give you my line of thinking here, and then you can have the floor. You know, I always graciously surrender the floor once I say what I have to say. In my opinion, they've proven that they're willing to do things with CM Punk. Very good things. They've built an entire brand around him, even when John Cena was there. Now, you could argue that CM Punk wasn't really the main event when he was the champion or whatever, but there was a time when they had CM Punk beating John Cena on Raw, on pay-per-view, wherever. They've never shown that willingness to use Daniel Bryan like that, Derek. They've never shown that willingness. So then, in spite of what the fans may want, I don't see how you can't say that CM Punk isn't a more valuable player to the company. Because of how he's positioned.
All right. Brady, can we hold that thought for when we do the WrestleMania cards? Just keep that thought in the back of your head. Because when we do those, or at least when I do mine, I want you to keep that thought in the back of your head for now.
All right.
I don't see why we can't head right there pretty soon, because we only have about 25 minutes left in the show.
And going back to Punk real quick, they also said he was complaining about, you know, the part-timers coming in and taking the
spots. Yeah, exactly.
But other than John Cena, who has benefited more from these part-time guys coming in with Punk? They put him with Rock, they put him with Brock, and they put him with Taker. He's benefited just as much as John Cena has from these part-timers coming in, because he's getting high-quality matches.
His big thing is the Rumble. He's pissed off that Batista won the Rumble. That's his thing.
That's exactly who he's talking about.
I mean, there's other stuff that has come up, things like payouts with the new network, and like how's that going, you know?
You know what? If we're done talking about Punk, I have one more thing with these numbers that I just kind of want to toss out, because I thought it was interesting. So he's also got the Biggest Losers of 2013. And the entire Wyatt family, every single one of them makes the list.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's going to change a little bit since the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, that promo he did on Raw last night was pretty, that was a pretty amazing thing to watch.
No, I'm just saying, I think that's interesting. I don't know. Could be a thing, could be nothing.
Where does the Shield, where do they lie on that list? Are they on the gainers or the losers list?
Well, let me pull it up here. Let's see. Seth Rollins is your biggest gainer in the Shield, followed by Roman Reigns right behind him at 11 and 12, and then Dean Ambrose is your 15th biggest gainer.
Wow. Well, I guess that could be contributed to the fact that Rollins has better matches than both those guys.
I would also contribute it to, you have to remember that sometimes fans are going to lose viewers based on who they're going up against.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so with Ambrose holding the U.S. title, he ends up going against a bunch of guys who are ratings losses.
Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. You're right.
So the actual leader is Roman Reigns?
No, the actual leader would be Seth Rollins, because he's 11. And Roman Reigns is 12.
And he does look 11. I mean, minus the beard, he does kind of look 11. I buy that.
You were waiting for that.
Now, in all seriousness, I think that kind of invalidates that stat in a way, doesn't it?
They obviously don't care because Reigns is going to be the next big guy.
Right.
It doesn't matter to them.
I mean, I don't know. I do apologize. I had to step away for a second there, and apparently DJ not feeling so well, so he's going to head off a little bit early, but thank you for your service tonight, DJ, wherever you are. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see sometimes the guys that are the real quote-unquote movers and shakers in the company. Because they're not always what you expect.
No, they're not. I mean, and, you know, a lot of your lost viewership are in divas. You know, I think the first five biggest losses are divas. See if we can, because I do want to get into the WrestleMania cards, but I just want to see if you guys can guess who the biggest male loser of 2013 was.
Either. Oh, man, well, kids like Kofi Kingston. I'm going to say The Miz, only because I don't know if he has any fans. Like, at least there's some kids who like Kofi a little bit, but I don't think anybody likes The Miz.
I'm going to say Curtis Axel.
Oh, dang it, that's right.
What do you think, Kathy?
Okay.
I was thinking Axel.
Okay.
Even when he was with Hayden.
All right.
I don't know.
All right, I was surprised by these results. But we're gonna go through the list just real quick. The top 20 biggest viewership gainers. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rock, Lesnar, Cena, Heyman,
Lesnar,
Triple H, Punk, Stephanie McMahon, Vicky Guerrero,
Vicky.
Vince McMahon. Brad Maddox,
wow.
Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Big Show, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Ryback, and then I was shocked because number 17, your 17th biggest gainer in the company, Curtis Axel.
Wow, well, I guess because he was with Heyman for so long, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And then Kane, Sheamus, Randy Orton round out your top 20.
Okay.
Now, here's your 20 biggest viewership losers. We'll count backwards on this one from 20.
Sure.
Eric Rowan.
AJ.
Wow.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
Zack Ryder.
Oh, Zack.
Bray Wyatt. Santino. Fandango. I was shocked at 14, too. Damian Sandow.
Really? Well,
Great Khali. Kofi Kingston. The Usos. Christian. Now, it's all women except one from here on up. Alicia Fox, Natalia, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella. We'll skip the guy. Naomi, Oksana, Layla, Cameron.
I'm hoping it's not Barrett, so it has to be The Miz. It has to be.
I got some bad news.
Any other guess? It's not Barrett, and it's not Miz. You guys get one more guess.
Wait a second. Albert?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think that's an educated guess, but it's wrong. Your male loser for 2013 is R-Truth.
Yes,
of course it is. Okay, it has to be. Of course it is. Nobody
That's
likes
not
R-Truth.
Because of me, Derek. I love him.
Of course you love him, Brady, because he's stupid.
That can't be a enemy of what I want to see in a wrestler.
Yeah, Brady, wrestler,
your former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, the fifth biggest ratings loser in a company.
That's good, because when he was a heel and he was doing good work, Vince turned him face because he claimed there was more money in him as a face. So I'm glad that R-Truth is losing viewers for Vince McMahon. Good for him.
You're glad.
All right. So and again, thank you to Chris Harrington at Indeed Wrestling for putting all of that together. It was pretty useful. You should check out the rest of the data set. It's pretty interesting. WrestleMania cards. We all were supposed to come back with WrestleMania cards, and then CM Punk quit.
Yeah, it messed me up.
yeah, fucked me up good too. So I'm gonna read my initial card that I did, because I did get an initial card done, and I thought maybe from there we could see if we could rebuild it.
By the way, just as an aside here, I'm the equivalent of the kid in study hall, furiously scratching in his notebook trying to figure this out because I forgot that I was supposed to do this. I have a really interesting card. I think it'll be good. Yeah, it'll be. Kathy, did you do your homework?
No, I did not. I've been a little busy with
things. She was hoping to copy off Derek.
Right.
I've got a pretty decent.
All right.
I'm just trying to. I mean, actually, I don't have Punk in there right now, so I guess it works. I'm sure I'm overlooking guys.
So I'm gonna read my card with Punk first.
Okay.
This is in no particular order. We have Triple H versus Punk. Then I had a triple threat for the titles with Bryan, Batista, and Orton. I had a tag team title match with the New Age Outlaws versus the Real Americans because I just don't see them dropping the titles that quickly. I had Big E versus Ryback for the Intercontinental title. I had Taker Lesnar. I had AJ Lee versus Plug in a Diva. I had Rhodes Goldust. I had Sheamus Barrett. Then I had Cena with Hogan versus the Wyatts. And then I had a fatal four-way for the U.S. title between the three members of the Shield and the Big Show.
Oh.
And that left me with some guys to like kind of figure out what to do with. Like, I don't have anything for Del Rio, Sandow, Kane, El Torito, or The Miz, and they're all guys who, for one reason or another, you would think would find some way onto the card.
They might not this year, though.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, Jack
I
Swagger
know might not, but
Dolph Ziggler didn't get mentioned either.
Because I don't have a place for Dolph Ziggler.
No. And how can you, based on what they've given us?
I have no place for Dolph Ziggler, and even if they were trying to give him something, I would be hard-pressed to consider him, you know, reasonable to be healthy by the time WrestleMania comes around. Isn't his brain just one giant lesion at this point?
It has to be. At this point.
Now, a quick question, Ray. Are we allowed to sign free agents for WrestleMania?
No, Brady. If you use a roster, you have
not unless, yeah. Yeah, no, well, not unless it would be like a reasonable, not unless it's like a conceivable, reasonable thing that they might do.
Oh, okay.
This isn't conceivable, but this will be a hell of a match. All right.
So anyway, I told you guys to keep the idea that Punk leaving is still huge. He's still huge to the company. Because if you take Punk out, you know, we all agree Triple H is going to have a match at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. None of us have to like it. We all agree that it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Great. So you move Bryan there. I really sort of doubt that Batista versus Orton is your title match, right?
Right. Yeah, I can't. Not at this point. People would kill that match if they put them 2-1.
I'm sorry. Last night was in first. I really watched Batista. Why is he back? Why?
He's one of Triple H's boys.
I said this. But, I'll tell you why he's back. What he's actually going to do is he's going to come in at WrestleMania. He's going to get in the ring, and he's going to run to the ropes, and he's going to shake them. And as he's shaking them, he is actually going to morph into the Ultimate Warrior. And he will then be inducted into the Hall of Fame as the first dual wrestler Hall of Famer. Because he'll be inducted as the Ultimate Batista.
I love that. That's good, though. I like that.
I like it a lot, too. I'm a big fan of your card, Ray. I really am. You were realistic, unlike me.
Who are you signing? Harley Race?
No. Everybody I sign could feasibly get in there and make an appearance.
Kendo. He's on Kendo.
Just a couple. Derek, you have yours? I mean, do you want me to go?
Yeah, I have mine. I just kind of similar to Ray's. This is before Punk decided he wanted to leave. I had Bryant, Batista, and Orton in the triple threat match. I had the New Age Outlaws defending the title against the Usos. And if you want to get some guys on the Mania card, I guess you could use the pre-show and have like a tag team turmoil thing where the winning team gets a title shot, whatever, you can do that. Of course, I had Punk versus Triple H. And I even had some of the guys from the Clique coming in, because Triple H has to look out for his guys, preferably Nash, maybe Waltman. You know Shawn Michaels is going to be in there somewhere. I had Sheamus versus Kane. For the Intercontinental title, I had Wade Barrett going against Big E, only because I think they kind of like this Wade Barrett character. I had a triple threat match with Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose for the United States title, but I kind of figured they don't want to put the United States title on Reigns. So what I did was I had these three guys in a six-man tag against the Big Show and some makeshift team, him, Ziggler. I couldn't think of a third guy. But him and Ziggler and one other guy versus the Shield, and in the process of that match, they break up, and Reigns has his big WrestleMania moment where he breaks away from the Shield. I had AJ versus Random Diva, just like Ray had that Random Diva here. And I have Cena versus the Wyatts with Hulk Hogan making a run in to save him, or some kind of interaction with Hulk Hogan at the end.
Nice. So you get the Hulkster in there.
Yeah. And I have Batista Taker, with Taker winning, of course, and somehow teasing Sting's debut. I don't know if you want the lights to flicker off, or you have Sting. I wouldn't put him in the rafters, obviously. Some interaction with Taker and Sting leading up to Raw the next night. And that's it.
First time on Raw. You do know that.
What do you say?
You do know Sting's not going to come out until Raw.
Yeah, I know, but even if you have, Taker celebrating and the lights flicker a little bit and he's looking around what's going on, I wouldn't have Sting show up at Mania. I would save him for Raw the next night.
You know what? I hope that when assuming Sting shows up, I hope he shows back up as the surfer dude.
A man called Sting, yeah, with the theme music and everything.
Okay. All right, well, I like your card as well, Derek. Both you guys are going to blow away anything that I came up with, but what I booked is probably going to be the worst WrestleMania of all time.
You booked WrestleMania 9?
I'm not far off.
I can't wait to see how you work in Harvey Whippleman.
Oh, no, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for sure. I did sign 10 matches, and I know that that's kind of above and beyond, but I figure let's try and get everybody that big cut of the $10 payday, So here's what I think. These are in a crazy sort of order, but I'm thinking I'm thinking on two dark matches here. The first being that I expect that they're gonna take what the hell is his name? The person Ricardo Rodriguez. They're gonna take Ricardo Rodriguez. We're gonna repackage him as a man known as CM Funk. So CM Funk is gonna be taking on Santino Marella in your first dark match.
Yes.
So that's my your opening dark match. There's a second dark match that's going to figure two guys that should be on the main card. Wade Barrett taking on Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
So now we're getting to the real show now.
News for you, Dolph. You have another concussion.
Exactly.
Now I'm looking at the show reasonably to see what would be the opening match for the biggest show ever. And okay. How about this? I'm going to unify the United States and Intercontinental belts on this night. Dean Ambrose taking on Big E Langston.
Okay.
And that's your opening match. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm sorry if I go quite, like, if it's not quite the right order, you'll have to bear with me. But I'm going to have the Ryback taking on the show, the big show.
Wow. Yeah, that'll really get him going, Brady. That's what we call a cool down match.
Well, that's the second match. You know, I mean, the first three I think are going to be pretty hot. So,
So
you've got the Ryback versus the show. What's that, Kathy?
That's a bathroom match.
Okay, fair enough.
I like Ryback. He's funny.
I like Ryback too. I like now that he's crazy. He's fun.
Too.
So I'm going to do Bray Wyatt and Sheamus. It's a match I mentioned last week. I think it's a perfect match for the two of them because I don't think you're really going to hurt either one too much.
No.
So I think that's fine. Let's see here. I am... Oh, we're getting to the good part now. All right. Roman Reigns with Seth Rollins in his corner. And they're tweeners now, or at least Roman Reigns is a tweener by this point, taking on Alberto Del Rio.
In a handicap match?
No. Seth Rollins is just in Roman Reigns' corner. This is when the official split is going to happen.
Okay.
Now, for the women's match, actually, for weeks we're going to tease that AJ is going to have a mystery legend that she's going to be facing for the Divas title. She'll have no idea who it is going in.
It's Mike McGurk.
I wish it was Mike McGurk. Actually, Mickey James making her return. She's working in developmental right now, helping them out. Perfect spot for her. Come back, challenge AJ for the title at the biggest show of the year, where it all begins again. And I think they'd have a good match.
Yeah, they would.
Okay.
Yeah. I can get
there. We
that.
Go. Blah blah blah.
I can get behind that almost as much as I can get behind my Plug-a-Diva.
Okay, now here's where it breaks down, all right? I'm trying to decide how the politics will play out here, how the next three matches go. The New Age Outlaws will be defending the tag team titles, and you guys are going to love this one. This is where it really does all begin again. Taking on the team of Hulk Hogan and Brother Brudeye, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, taking on the New Age Outlaws for the tag team titles.
Oh, good.
Goodness, that's the best. Oh, someone's going to break a hip again.
Well, I think your Beefcake is the most work there.
You know, Brady, I mean, I'm all about the red and yellow, too, but if Hulk Hogan does a leg drop... WrestleMania.
Oh, there's not going to be a leg drop. It's not going to be pretty.
If Hulk Hogan does a leg drop at WrestleMania, let me tell you something. The red and yellow, the red and yellow we're going to be seeing is not going to be from his clothes.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you that Harvey Wimpleman is now aligned with Hulk Hogan and Beefcake, playing the Jimmy Hart.
Woo! And Hulk Hogan and Beefcake are actually going to come out in suits with muscles spray painted on.
So there you go. So I've got two more matches left, and you guys are going to love this, okay? Cena and The Undertaker.
Okay.
And your main event. You know, they say, whoever they are, they say, that evolution is a mystery.
Oh, God.
Well, have I got a mystery for you? This is going to confound you. Randy Orton defending the WWE title in a fatal four-way against not just the real number one contender, Batista, not just the fans' choice, Daniel Bryan, who will have Ric Flair in his corner, but the game Triple H as well, a fatal four-way, all four Evolution members involved, and only one man can be the undisputed champion come the end of WrestleMania 30.
You know,
way to work Lesnar in there, you dumb bastard.
And Taker.
I forgot. I should.
No, he had Taker.
What is Brock gonna do?
I did this in homeroom. Brock Lesnar can take on Mark Henry.
What a spelling bee?
He just broke his arm on television. He beat him up on television.
All right, fine. Let's take out CM Punk then. I don't know. Take out Ryback. We'll do Ryback. We'll do show version. No, shoot. Put Brock Lesnar in with
Brady Hicks.
A fatal five-way for the title. Fatal five-way.
A fatal five-way.
Isn't
awesome.
That called a fatal orgy?
We're getting toward the end here. What I want to do right now is I'm going to take a commercial break. On the other side, it'll be 11 o'clock. This is overtime. If you're listening to the live stream, you're going to have to download us tomorrow to check out the rest of what we've got to say. Lights out. We'll get out of here in about 10 minutes or so. We'll be right back, guys, on the other side.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love Greg DeMarco. You should listen to his show, The Greg DeMarco Show, every weekend worldwide at VLCNation.com.
Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County, specialist in teenage driver training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident free. 215-639-199. The Duncan School of Driving, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Netcarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Netcarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Netcarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book the Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information, or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
OMG, I got crabs! Live on Crab Nation, on VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media. Take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hey, this is Chavo Guerrero Jr., and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Viva la raza!
Entertainment with an attitude, bitch. It's the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is In the Room, the VOC Nation Radio Network.
I like the way my hand looked on your head.
VOCNation.com. The Radio Network. turn it down. We're going to turn it off. It's turning it off.
Welcome to overtime.
Yeah, welcome to overtime. I do want to personally apologize to everybody who sat through the first heat, the first 17 minutes of the show tonight. It was a lot of dead air and a lot of confusion because Blog Talk Radio and Skype and pretty much everything we use to do this show just all simultaneously just gave up on us all at once. It was an all too familiar moment for me, having dealt with Spreaker for all those years. But I do feel like it was an anomaly.
Well, you know so what?
There's your drinking game right there, right? I mean, every time I call it an anomaly, you take a drink.
And then you're slashed. We got through it. And we got through it because... We did. And, you and I have good chemistry, and that helped. And DJ, sort of intrepidly went through the technical end, and you went through the technical end, and that helped. And then we had a really great interview with Mike McGurk, and that helped. And so the show was saved. And she's not here anymore. Our producer took off, but Kathy is really just the world's greatest producer. And,
she's the bee's knees.
She does, and she gets us and by proxy all of you, all these guests who tell us these great stories and give us these great interviews. But Derek, you said something ridiculous as we were in break waiting to come back into overtime. You wanted to see if she could get Virgil. First off, how the hell is he going to talk to us? I don't think he owns a phone. What the hell are we going to talk about? Like, what company makes the best folding table? Come on now.
I mean, I know he doesn't have a phone. It's Black History Month, so I could probably call him on a black phone, and I'm pretty sure he'd pick that up.
Black phone.
I don't know what we would talk to him about. I've heard some stories about him that I'd rather not speak to him about, but I don't know. I was just thinking of a random strange reason.
Hey, Virgil, I hear you'll suck dick for a double cheeseburger. True or false?
No, stop it. No, we don't want to
story, people. Allegedly. But I saw the guy last year during WrestleMania week. He was selling his memorabilia in Penn Station, and I wanted to talk to him, but it was kind of sad.
The national sub chain, Penn Station?
Yes. He was in Penn Station, and he was selling, like, old pictures and taking pictures with people for money, yeah. You didn't see him, Brady?
No, I didn't see him. Do you ever think that maybe he regrets hitting his employer with the $1 million belt and walking away?
You got time to clean his feet, Brady.
I mean, I have so many fun Virgil stories, some of which I can say on the air, some I can't. I've seen him go into a bar with a sandwich and get kicked out because he refused to not eat his sandwich in the bar. I've seen pictures of him in a parade holding a flag that says WWE stars Virgil and the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase by himself.
Wow.
Ted's busy preaching and circumcising babies.
I see him holding same said banner, sitting at a table signing autographs, with all of his merchandise strategically covering the name of Ted DiBiase, so it just says former WWE superstars Virgil.
I've seen the interview with Ted DiBiase where he said there's been times where Virgil has led people to believe that Ted was going to be there with him so he can get bookings at these autograph signings, it's kind of sad in a way, man, because wasn't he just on TV like 2 years ago with Ted DiBiase's son? If I'm not mistaken. Ted Jr. was looking for the new Virgil, and ha ha ha, WWE writing, he wanted the new Virgil to be R-Truth. And when R-Truth said no, he just brought in old Virgil.
I do remember that now, but it was only one night.
So,
Well, you got to make that money last.
Exactly.
I mean, it's funny. Like, Virgil, I'll remember Virgil forever. Not just for those awesome glittery vests or you know, the way he could iron money like nobody's business. But do you remember how he used to wear those peppermint tights?
Yes.
It was my favorite set of tights in the WWF at the time. I thought him and Dustin Runnels, Dustin Rhodes. He just had like the plain like white or black with like the red lettering. Just cool stuff.
You had to save money back then, Brady. You couldn't spend all your money on fancy tights.
Before we do anything serious, I have a question.
Just
because it popped into my head.
When are we doing anything serious?
And if nobody knows, that's fine. We'll just declare him one way or the other. But Rick Martel, is he still alive?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. I mean, I was actually ready to declare him dead. If he's alive, that's fine.
I'm still hoping he makes it in the Hall of Fame one of these days.
You know, he should be. He shouldn't. I mean, certainly not as like a lead inducting guy or anything.
Oh,
no, like the model, right? Just as the model.
Yeah.
Yes, Brady. Just as the model.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So in all seriousness.
<That was easy.
laughs> Don't fight okay, back, so, everybody.
You know, we talked about. We talked about the WrestleMania cards right at the end of the show, and you know, in all seriousness, so how screwy is this card going to look now that it's obvious everything's going to have to be rearranged?
I don't know, but if they manage to pull off a great card, then Vince McMahon and Triple H are geniuses. Because I don't see how you can do it at all. I don't. And you got to worry about the networks. So they have so many things on their plate right now that if they get out a great Mania, then kudos to them.
I think if they pull off an average Mania, we have to look at it as a huge success. You know, I don't know what you guys were thinking as you were writing out your cards. But one of the problems I kept coming up with was how the hell are they gonna make matches for all these people?
It wasn't a problem for me.
Brady had it figured out.
I even had Harvey.
Yeah, you were. Yes, you did. I don't know, but like, I mean, for some of those matches, like, you know, with the Sheamus Barrett match, that got put together because it's obvious they like Barrett's gimmick as much as I like Barrett's gimmick, and because of the gimmick, you can build a match quickly. Like for a lot of these, it was sort of like, well, you know, like, okay, I guess they have some pieces for that. Maybe they can do this.
I just feel bad for guys like Miz and Dolph and guys who at one point were guaranteed a spot on the Mania card, and now it's looking kind of bleak for them. Like, they have to find a way to throw them into, like, a big battle royal or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that. Now, I mean, I was thinking about that, too. Like, guys, even, like, not even the Miz, but, like, who's Alberto Del Rio going to face?
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
He's going to be a pre-show guy.
Yeah, Del Rio didn't make it onto my card. The guy I had names off to the side of guys who it seemed like should be involved somehow, but I didn't really have a spot for them. And Del Rio is on there, Kane is on there, and Miz is on there, and then El Torito is on there because that little dude is just so over.
Yes, he is.
But the one that was on there that I just couldn't find a way to work him in was Damian Sandow.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what though. I don't feel bad for Ziggler because he should retire. You know, before his brain turns to soup.
I know people probably think you're joking, but that's a legit worry. Like he once you get the first concussion, they're easy to come by, and it doesn't seem like he's slowing down his wrestling style either, which is going to make him more prone to get more concussions.
I mean, it's a terrible thing. You hate to see it happen because I was one of those people who thought that in 15 years, we're going to be saying that Dolph Ziggler was the Shawn Michaels of that generation. And I know that there were a lot of detractors who didn't think that, but that's how I saw him. And to think that maybe this time next year, there's no place for him, whether it's because of injury or because of their own lack of interest in pushing him anymore, I think that's a shame because he's a really talented guy. So,
I don't know. I'll tell you the guy I don't feel bad for, though, is The Miz. I don't feel bad for it.
I
mean, there's no growth. There's no nothing.
I mean, it
he had no character progression.
I mean, you know it's bad when I'm turning on The Miz because I always felt like WWE never did him right. After losing that title, they just proceeded to drop him like he never meant anything, and I didn't think that was fair because he was an important part of their storylines for a long time, and that match with John Cena, yeah, I mean, a lot of people will trash it, but I thought he made a credible champion against John Cena that year. You know, I thought everything that they did worked. I thought his interactions with The Rock worked, and now to see him, it's like they did the ultimate disservice to him when they dropped him out of the main event. Then they did further disservice by making him a babyface, and an awful babyface at that.
Yeah, that
terrible. At least he could have been like a heel, but, you know, just getting cheered now. They could have done that. But no, they just made him corny and stupid and just a caricature of himself. And then you wonder why people stop caring. I mean, think about the way they brought Santino Marella in and look at him now. And you can see that when WWE loses interest in somebody, I guess you're just happy to keep your job.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Barrett is a prime example of that. When they had the whole Nexus thing, you couldn't tell me he wasn't going to be a world champion within a year because I just thought they loved the guy so much, and then he fell off. I mean, a year ago, 2 years ago, look at Ryback. You know, I remember there was a chance where people, I remember on the show, we thought there was a legit chance they put the belt on the guy because everybody was going crazy and chanting, feed me more, and then now Ryback's just a regular guy, and it's a shame because he can talk on the mic now, and he's found a character, but nobody cares about him because he's getting beat every week on television.
Yep. Well, that's where we are. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
We are the best show on VOC Nation.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
I-T-R.
I have a scumbag.
Larry Zbysko. Oh, sorry.
This is the guy we've been talking about. See him call Les. I understand he's mad, but like, he knows he works for Vince McMahon, and you know that your looks matter to Vince McMahon. I mean, if you listen to the Christian match on Raw, you know, JBL spent the whole match talking about how ugly Christian was, and as an inside joke, he said they should put a blue dot over Christian's face. But you know you work for a company where your physique kind of matters, and when you go into interviews and you go, hey, I don't care about the way I look. Well, you should. The fact that CM Punk made it to the level he's at now, with the tools that he has, he should, you know, that's a victory in itself. Because he, you know, he looks like a skinny soccer mom with that haircut. He looks like he weighs 110 pounds. And the fact that you're as big as you are, you know, you've made it. But, you know, I guess it's not enough for some guys. So CM Punk's my scumbag. And I like the guy. I love his work. But it's like, come on. Try to lift a weight every once in a while. One.
So your problem with him, it isn't that he walked out, it's that he's not jacked.
No, it's not that he's not, because he doesn't have to be jacked. But, like, look at Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is a small guy, but you can tell he lifts something that resembles a weight. You can tell he cares about his body. Now, I'm not asking Punk to go out there and abuse your body like Eddie Guerrero did, like Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman and these guys did, but look somewhat athletic, you know what I mean? Come on, guy. You wrestle with your shirt on.
Look like in some way that you could in any way participate in a sport.
Yeah, like you could run a marathon or something.
Okay.
And I think old guys should look, you know, I think you should have fat guys, little guys. That's why I love El Torito. I think wrestlers should, you know, they should
that's
all
why
be
I love
one
El
big number.
He's a little guy.
I think wrestling should be like one big melting pot like it was in the 80s. But, you know, you're working for Vince McMahon. You know the way the guy minds work. Like, try. That's all.
Yeah, you don't have to, and really, I don't think you have to have, you know, the crazy muscle tone. You just have to have any muscle tone.
Yeah, something.
Like, I sort of feel like, I don't know how big of a Simpsons fan you guys are, you know, in comparison to me, but there's an episode where Homer goes in for a body fat test. and Dr. Hibbert says, we're gonna make your stomach ripple, and then we're going to count. And then when you're, and then...
I feel like doing surgery outdoors today.
When it stops, yes. And then when it... Time of death. But then he says, when your stomach stops rippling, we'll be able to take the number of seconds and determine what percentage of your body is body fat. And it's supposed to be like anywhere from 1 to 5 seconds. And, you know, he makes Homer's stomach ripple, and it ripples for like 5 minutes. And I feel like that's what would happen if we poked CM Punk. I feel like there isn't actual musculature there. It's just skin that's sort of grown around the bone in time.
Yeah, like I said, I like the guy, but...
Like a fleshy skeleton.
Yeah, you gotta know your bosses, man.
You know what it is? We're all dancing around it. He looks like a druggie.
I didn't want to go
there.
Yeah,
he does.
He does.
The bags under the eyes don't help.
He does.
Well, I mean, when all you do is drink Pepsi, I mean...
He's kind of like an addict, you're right.
So anyway,
yeah,
I'm sorry, I did have one... CM Punk fan.
Well, I have one closing... You know, he had the scumbag. I just had one closing thought. You know, we were talking about The Miz during this segment, and earlier this week, I came across a discussion thread, really, and it was talking about, you know, whether or not it was talking about The Miz and whether or not he was given proper feuds or not, and they brought up the match he had on Raw against Jerry Lawler in the ladder match for the title, and I kind of thought about it, and I think this kind of sums up maybe why they dropped The Miz and why I don't feel bad for him. I thought then, and I still think now, that they got the end of that match wrong and they should have had Lawler win.
Me too! I thought that too when it happened.
I thought that they got that wrong from the time it happened, and I still think that now, and I think that speaks a lot to how I viewed The Miz. And I think that the real disservice to The Miz was that they had him the summer before that, when he was jobbing to John Cena every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think that was the real disservice to The Miz, because even after they pushed him to the top, you couldn't take him seriously.
Yeah. And leading into Mania, instead of it being, you know, John Cena versus The Miz, they kind of built that whole match around John Cena versus The Rock. And I think that was a disservice to Miz, too.
Well, I mean, yeah, these are all things that absolutely were disservices to The Miz. But
I'll say this, I'll just say this to close it out, and then Brady, I guess you take us home. The Miz failed where Wade Barrett succeeded, and you know, Wade Barrett, you know certainly, yes, he was not done a service by WWE for being handled the way that he was. Holy hell!
Somebody's
hello.
In the room. Let's bring it home.
Okay. You know, Wade Barrett has essentially reinvented himself and into something really unique and entertaining and valuable, and The Miz never did that.
Well, I mean, That's a whole other can of worms for a whole other show, but yeah. I mean, there are certainly people that would say that, sure. I mean, I'd definitely be curious what other people think about that. Right into the In the Room fan show page on Facebook and check in with that. We'll be back next week in the room, the VOC Nation Wrestling Radio Network, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com. Check out for all your wrestling news. We are live over the NetCarrier NCloud worldwide. We'll be back next week, guys. Take care.